It's the E-Commerce Master Plan Podcast. Here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the E-Commerce Master Plan Podcast. I'm Chloe Thomas, the creator and host of this award-winning show, and it's my aim in every episode to help you find ways to improve your business. So thank you for tuning in. And today we're talking payments, because it's been over 4 years since we've had an episode just about payments, because getting money off your customers isn't at all important. So today we are righting that wrong, and we're giving you an update on just what the latest opportunities are in the world of payments. We're going to be talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. We're going to be talking about payment wallets, WeChat, what's going on in Brazil, crazy email payments in Canada, buy now, pay later. It is all coming up. And if you're thinking, I'm on Shopify, they deal with that for me. Well, yes, they do, but you still have options. And I think you're going to want to listen and find out what they are. Payments, of course, is one of those areas where things can change a lot from country to country. And so Jason and I have tried to keep this discussion geographically neutral to the main part, which, of course, has the added benefit that we won't be getting deep into any legislation. Win for all of us. But be aware that some of what we're discussing might not be possible in your country or the countries you sell to. Before we get into all of that, though, and meet Jason, please do check out the sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform for brands of all kinds and sizes. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out or you're part of a marketing team at a multinational brand, Klaviyo will give you everything you need to create memorable marketing moments, building customer relationships that keep shoppers coming back time and time again. Get started with a free account today. Visit klaviyo.com/masterplan. That's klaviyo.com/masterplan. Don't think people are using cryptocurrencies? Guess again. Coin Payments has been around since 2013, processing over $6 billion in crypto payments to date, and the numbers keep growing. Stop leaving money on the table and start accepting Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and other crypto payments for your business. Coin Payments makes it easy and affordable with just 0.5% processing fees and with its simple Shopify, WooCommerce, Magento, and other major e-commerce plugins. Go to coinpayments.net/masterplan to get in on the action. And now to introduce today's guest expert. Jason Butcher is a specialist at the forefront of fintech. He's a key advisor to multiple businesses focused on aspects of payment solutions and emerging currencies. And his core role is as the CEO at Coin Payments, an integrated payment gateway for cryptocurrencies. So who better to update us on the latest payments opportunities? Hello, Jason.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And it's, as I said, it's been a long time since we've talked payments on the show. So I'm really interested to get into how things have changed, because hint, everybody, they've changed quite a lot. But before we get into that, how did you end up in the world, or so deeply embedded, I guess, in the world of payments and payment solutions?
That goes back a long time. In the early 90s, 92, 93, I was involved with a company. We were developing a product called WSN, the World Shopping Network, which basically was what today we have globally, with people buying and selling and through video and images and things. And that was in the early 90s, and that we needed a payment system. So we were developing a payment solution at the time, really before anybody else had had any kind of e-commerce or any kind of system. So we were definitely at the forefront of development of both e-commerce as well as payments. So that was the first piece. And then in the early 2000s, I developed a payments platform and payment gateway system for the Caribbean called CPay. And that kind of pushed me into accepting of credit cards and merchant processing. Through that process, we started doing other things globally and creating an EMI or electronic money institution in Malta, and doing other types of payments and working within different organizations to help merchants accept payments globally.
I see. And then you ended up kind of deep in cryptocurrencies with what you're doing at Coin Payments.
Yeah, for sure. In around 2015, 2016, I was introduced to be a mentor to the owners and the founders of Coin Payments, and saw what they were doing and was inspired by who they were and thought there was a good opportunity for me to support them further. So I got more involved. And since that time, I have been a part of their operations team and a year or so ago took over as the CEO. And today lead the global operations where we have clients in 180 countries and process well over $400 million a month in crypto transactions for merchants.
Wow, that's a lot of money in crypto, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, look, it's been 4 years here on the podcast since we specifically talked about payments. So catch us up over those 4 years. What are the biggest changes that have happened in that time?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that in different markets, you've had different types of payment solutions. And I would suggest that probably 4 years ago, most of your payments that you were talking about then would have been mostly around credit cards. Of course, there was the onset of digital wallets, which the likes of the Skrills and NetTellers and the PayPals and other types of things, which allowed members of those wallets to also make payments if you had a wallet yourself in that process. But today, you'll see tremendous changes from that time. Globally, in different markets like the European markets, you've got a number of different networks and payment systems, the faster payments platforms, e-payments, SEPA, wires. There's so many different types of payment systems that are now available to both merchants and individuals making payments. So you do have an expansion of the Africa market where you've got a lot of people that are making payments directly through wallet payments. You've got the Asia markets where you've got WeChat Pay, which 4 years ago, really there wasn't the level of payments. And today that's the majority of payments that are happening today is through WeChat or Alipay. And you've got other growing markets, emerging markets like Brazil and Latin America that are also having launches of things like WhatsApp Pay and local payment systems where the central banks have actually instigated direct instant payment solutions. So you have so much growth. And of course, you have the adoption to crypto. And crypto has been around for 10 years, but really over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen tremendous growth in that space as well. So more and more people doing more global payments, more and more people changing, of course, how they're doing shopping. And e-commerce has grown so much that the payment options have had to adapt to how people are paying and where they're paying, because it's not necessarily just people buying within their small community or within their market. They're buying and paying globally. So you have a dramatic shift compared to where you were 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think dramatic certainly the word for it. And any of you guys who are going, how many different payment options? Don't worry, we're gonna cover off the key ones as we go. But I guess you can see some brains melting and they're going, what? But don't worry, it's opportunity, isn't it? It's not brain melting time. But Jason, the bit I want to get into first is you mentioned about how in Latin America, there's one payment system. Over in China, it's all about the WeChat and Alipay. In Africa, it's about wallets. In Europe, it's still kind of about credit cards and PayPal. And it does strike me that it's, if you want, and I've seen companies, you know, screw up by getting this wrong. If you want to go and sell into another territory, into another region, you have to get the payment methods right. Otherwise, no one's going to buy from you.
Absolutely. It's true. Actually, interesting, I had a conversation earlier this morning with one of the head guys at Paysafe, which is a global payments company. And they see a tremendous amount of merchants and e-commerce happening through cash. So they have 55,000 locations in the United States that people can go and they top up their payment using a voucher or a QR code type thing where an individual can go. And these are actually happening every single day. People are taking their cash, going to the Walgreens or the local markets and giving them cash. And that's how they're completing their transaction to a merchant because they don't want to provide their bank account or they don't have a credit card or other things. So different markets, depending on who your target audience and or who your buyer is, you really need to provide the options as different forms of payments. Just as you do if you're using a large payment gateway provider that might offer credit card, but they also offer EFT. In Canada, more and more transactions are happening off of EFT, email file transfer or an email payment, where there's no attachment to their bank account, there's no attachment to their credit card, et cetera. And it's also the lowest cost transaction fee as well. So in different markets, you really have to be open to accepting different types of payment solutions within that target audience. And that's really key today with the growth of e-commerce and the potential audience growth for that merchant.
I really like the fact you've kind of expanded it varies by geography into it varies by demographic and who you're targeting as well. Because when you said about people paying with cash, I was like, all right, this is going to be India or somewhere. And you were like, no, it's America, which, you know, guys listening, even I am unconsciously biased when it comes to how payments being made. But of course, if you're targeting certain demographics are still very cash based, aren't they? And they want to have that ability to purchase things online. So of course, there's going to be a method. If you're Gucci, probably not necessary to worry too much about it. But if you're selling other products, it may well be. So is it evolving that fast that even if you think you're sitting pretty and you've got the right payments, you should constantly be reassessing?
I agree with that completely. You know, I think that reassessing your own business as to who you're selling to, as that's changing, you know, who you're targeting, how you're targeting them, you should be equally paying the same amount of attention to the types of payment that you're accepting. It could be the value of the products that you're selling may be more suitable for people to pay in different types of forms of payment than others. So I think that if you are looking at your traffic, you're looking at your audience, you're looking at who you're selling to, and then you're looking at the products you're selling, being more open to other types of payment solutions that are more suitable will just keep those clients by allowing them to make that payment in the choice that they want to make that payment in.
I'm going to give you a couple of noisy payment methods, I suppose, now, which we hear a lot about, certainly here in the UK, I think in the US as well, and across most of Europe. But obviously, I guess it's probably different as we go around the world. But these are the ones which seem to be the most noisy in the consumer-facing space, which I guess we had to start off with the world of the mobile wallet. So your Apples, your Googles, your PayPal to an extent. Are those a crucial element? Is there big take-up of those amongst consumers?
Yeah, well, it's undeniable to when you mentioned the Apple Pay, for example, right? And Apple Pay operates as a payment facility where it connects to your banks, it connects to your credit cards, it connects to, you know, easy form of payment. It's your phone, and everybody has a phone, right? At some form of facility. So they are definitely in your face because everybody's using the phone, so you are more open to it. PayPal has, I think the last numbers I saw was 350 million users. Mm-hmm. You know, it's undeniable. It's definitely the oldest and the largest wallet system that's out there. But if you look at other systems that are coming on board, the Revolut's even, for example, it is attached to a card. It is attached to a wallet. It is your sort of individual bank account. But if you look at other types of things that are fighting for financial inclusion, which is the WhatsApp type facilities in different markets, they've launched in India, they've launched in Brazil, or they're launching in Brazil. With the amount of users that have access to immediate sort of payment or immediate facilities to have exchange of value between people, that I think is truly where the leaders are going to be. If you look at 14, 15 years ago in the Philippines, as an example, they are the largest and oldest standing telephone payment system in the world. You know, they started doing text mobile payments 14, 15 years ago.
Wow.
And most of the transactions that happen in the Philippines, there's like $20 billion that gets sent to the Philippines every year in remittances. Within the Philippines, another $20 billion are paid between each other on their cell phone through their teletext payment system. That's because that's what they're used to. They don't even have credit cards. You know, it kind of skipped those markets. And I say that similar to the Latin American markets. A lot of those markets, they really skip the whole credit card stage. And you see in the Asian markets, you see that the same thing with the WeChat pays. They skip the credit card sort of phase where credit cards itself took 50 years for adoption, true adoption. And today it's what everybody has in their pocket. But in certain markets, you have different types of payment systems.
Well, it does kind of make perfect sense of why would you have a wallet of pieces of plastic when you know, and even when it comes to, once you start putting it on your mobile, you know, the stats tend to suggest that we are using fewer and fewer apps on a daily basis. So if you can combine multiple functions in one app, like with WeChat or with WhatsApp or with TextPay, it's like, well, why wouldn't we do that? Because as humans, that's kind of almost what we're striving for, is simplicity and one thing that does everything.
Absolutely. That's right.
And then the other area that we've seen a big boom in here in the UK, certainly over the last 18 months, which I know for those of you listening in Australia, you've been doing this for years, but we hadn't, is the world of the buy now, pay later boom. So the likes of Klarna, where we have this huge increase in consumers both using it kind of an easy returns mechanism where they don't really pay anything, try everything on, send it back and never have to pay anything, or to use it to spread payments out. That's been a big game changer, I think, in the space in the last 12, 18 months. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's a fortunate and unfortunate type of thing. I look at credit as still credit, right? So buy now, pay later has always been what credit cards and the banking institutions have facilitated through things like mortgages or things through lending and loans and things. The craze of how the structure is, it's just technology, allowing technology organizations like the groups out of Australia who have been tremendously successful, but they've given the ability for the merchants to essentially issue that credit, rather than a bank or rather than a credit facility. So it's a matter of technology and innovation and creating facilities where a merchant themselves, who've already holding that asset, already holding those funds, are basically doing the lending and the loans. So I think that those areas are changing how people, consumers, look at their relationship with the merchant. And I think the ultimate key is that the merchant themselves has a stronger, better relationship with the individual buyers because they're the ones providing that opportunity.
It's interesting, isn't it, when payment solutions turn into credit sources. Is it financing or is it a payment solution? I think we could probably debate that one for several hours to come.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. But look, we have to talk about blockchain and cryptocurrencies as well, obviously, because they're one of the three big trends. We've kind of like got the wallets and the mobile, we've got the buy now, pay later, and then we've got the cryptocurrencies piece, which I'll be honest, is the one I know the least about, which is one of the reasons we've got you on here today, Jason, let's be honest. So what's the latest in the cryptocurrency space? How are consumers using that with e-commerce businesses?
Well, I think there's a number of different ways. Let me just first support you in that the UK is working on new guidances and new regulatory frameworks to better support e-commerce merchants in the whole crypto space. You know, they're looking at how merchants can be better identified as merchants that are stable or supported or licensed or regulated. They're also looking at how to ensure that consumers are also protected in things like fraud or where they may be making purchases and they don't want to deal with how they're going to get the money back, or they just don't know. There's a number of different questions in the regulatory standpoint. And I'm working with the EPA in the UK to help give some guidance with those regulations. So I think in the merchant standpoint, there'll be new things over the next sort of 12 to 18, 24 months that may create more adoption, both on the merchant standpoint as well as the consumer standpoint in the UK specifically. There is frameworks in the European markets. There is things happening all over the world in different sort of regulatory standpoints to support both merchants and consumers in that standpoint. Now, when it comes to how are people using it today, the beautiful thing about crypto is that as that payment does come through, you are receiving that payment instantaneously. There's no settlement timeframes. There's no delay in those payments. There's a number of different pieces to that. In our business that we see more and more merchants opening up to the fact that they know that they may have a consumer who wants to pay in crypto. And as we discussed earlier, if you're a merchant who's selling a product or service, if you are open to accepting more forms of payment, you have more options to provide your consumers, and those consumers will pay with the way they prefer to make a payment. So in our business, we see more and more adoption every single month. We're seeing 5,000 to 10,000 new consumer or new merchants that are signing up to accept crypto as that form of payment. And I think there's, with more regulations and more support from banking and more support from financial institutions, more support from the consumer adoption who are wanting to make more payments in crypto, that's just going to continually grow. So I think that's where we see a lot of things happening. You also see changes in people making payments with stable coins over, say, a Bitcoin or under other cryptocurrencies.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to have to ask you, what's the difference between a stable coin and a Bitcoin?
A stable coin, there's a couple different areas. The majority of it is that stable coin has a consistent value, or at least very consistent compared to other volatile cryptocurrencies, where Bitcoin is, I would suggest, relate Bitcoin more to a digital gold or a gold product that has changes in that price each day, mm-hmm. where a stable coin, if it's say £1, it's £1 and that transaction. So that's slightly different than a cryptocurrency, where you may have accepted a pound in Bitcoin, but a few minutes later it might be worth £1, or it might be worth 99. It just has that slight volatility different, where on the stable coin it has a consistent value based on algorithms and systems that are running, where it maintains that same value.
Got you. So much more consumer friendly, or amateur friendly, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's both consumer and merchants. Unless you're speculating to say, hey, I'm open to accepting Bitcoin for sure, because we know that the price has been, you know, going up, or that it's going down, depending on how the market is. Then the merchant might speculate on taking a portion of their revenues and keeping it in Bitcoin as almost like an investment or a speculation, where if they accept a stable coin, that stable coin is consistent with the same value that they would have sold their product or service for.
And I guess that complexity in the different types of cryptocurrencies we might want to take is why the individual merchant should by no means be trying to work out how to just add Bitcoin or just add one of the others. What they should be doing is going to kind of a one-stop shop for their cryptocurrency taking needs, such as coin payments.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, coin payments in our digital wallet system, we're supporting over 2,000 cryptocurrencies. And then in the payment system, we support over 130 or so different options for somebody to make a payment in.
So did you say over 2,000 different cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, in our wallet.
Wow. So my mind just going, isn't that more than there are normal currencies, even if you include things like gold?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the interesting thing about the digital currency space has been a lot of different platforms and developments over the last several years of different ideas and concepts. Now, those 2,000 currencies are not super active. I'd say if you look at the top 15 or 20 currencies that are out there, you'll see more activity. And if you use platforms like CoinMarketCap, for example, you can look at your top 10 or 20 cryptos that are giving you suggestions of how much volatility or what the activity is or the transaction volumes. And we see the majority of our transactions in about the top 5 or 6 cryptocurrencies in the world.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Success in 2021 means building stronger relationships with your customers. Last year saw a lot of consumers switching to buy online, leading to surges in new customer acquisition. So how are you planning on turning your new first-time buyers into profitable repeat customers? Well, that's what Klaviyo is for. Klaviyo helps businesses create memorable marketing moments through email, SMS, and personalized website experiences. And that is what creates repeat purchases. That's why Klaviyo, the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform, is used by over 50,000 e-commerce brands around the world. Get started with your free account today. Visit klaviyo.com/masterplan. That's klaviyo.com/masterplan. Don't know where to start when it comes to cryptocurrencies? Don't worry, Coin Payments is here to make your transition into crypto as smooth as possible so you can enjoy lower fees, more security, and access to new shoppers eager to spend crypto. Get crypto payment options on your online store within 24 hours with our simple Shopify, WooCommerce, Magento, and other major e-commerce plugins. Go to coinpayments.net/masterplan to learn how you can start accepting crypto payments today.
It's time. For the top tips round.
Okay, Jason, we've just blown everyone's minds with all the different types of payments they may or may not want to be taking right now. But now we're going to get into the top tips and kind of slow it down a little bit. Slightly less mind-blowing, but just as powerful coming up, everybody. So I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Jason, you ready for the top tips?
Yep.
Okay, first up, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, Chloe, as I mentioned earlier, I don't tend to take a lot of time for reading books myself. However, I do read a lot of information and participate in programs. And one of the main programs I participate in is a program called Abundance Digital and Abundance A360, which is a program led by Peter Diamandis, one of the leading innovators and thought leaders around the world. And I very much participate in that program. It's something where I get tremendous amount of insight what's happening around in the world from technology, innovation, and change and growth. And that's one of the things I would strongly recommend somebody participate in.
Oh, that's very intriguing. I should be checking it out myself. The traffic top tip then, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I don't know about the press side of it, but I definitely think that most people forget to ask for referrals. In our business, it is actually one of our biggest traffic generators, and new business and new clients is from referrals. So our current clientele, the people that we have relationships with and that's depend on our products, we definitely get a lot of our traffic and a lot of our new clientele from those referrals. And of course, you have the focus of organic search, which you can't deny for sure. And I think you get all the press around the social medias and the systems and all these other areas. But I really think that that's one of those things that you don't get a lot of press on, and that making sure that organic search is something you need to focus on.
Two good recommendations. I love those. Okay, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Well, I definitely highly recommend if you have a team of people that you're collaborating with regularly, I think a collaboration tool like a Slack is really key. I also think that from a customer relationship manager, making sure you know who your clients are, what their buying habits are, what they've done, how you can react and provide a better solution or better service to those clients, something like a Salesforce, I think is really key and will help move your business forward.
Loads of good tips coming out here. Okay, the last one for you, Jason, the growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
Well, since I'm in the payment space and this is a payments conversation, I would definitely strongly suggest that you make sure you have added all possible payment solutions, whether it's something that you know your clients are wanting to pay with or ones that are not. Because most likely, if you provide the option, there will always be somebody who's wanting to make a payment in that solution. So it'll reduce the amount of people that come to your site and wanting to make a payment, but want to make a payment with something that you're not making a payment with. So supporting all possible payment solutions, I think, is really key.
It's kind of an easy way to almost set the tripwire for finding out when one becomes important to your customer base is the fact they could use it anyway. And you can see when the numbers start spiking and then you know that's where they're at.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jason, before we say goodbye, could you let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, for sure. Coinpayments.net, which is our main website, which is the company that you're, if you're interested in crypto and or accepting crypto as a form of payment, there we're also on Instagram and so all possible social channels. And on LinkedIn, if you're interested in connecting or asking me any questions personally, LinkedIn Jasonbutcher.com/in/JasonButcher.
Marvelous. Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and getting us all back up to speed in the world of payments. Lots of integrations for us all to go and get sorted now, but it's been really, really good getting that insight. So thanks so much for coming on, Jason.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Chloe. Have a great day.
Well, guys, you can now feel up to speed in the world of payments. Clearly, just asking for credit cards and just offering credit card payments is not enough anymore. We need to be enabling consumers to use the payment method that they want to use. And the good thing is there's now tools out there to make it super easy for you to do that. I cannot believe that in Canada, you guys are mainly paying by email. Had not come across that one. So I've learned quite a lot from that. I suspect you all have too. If you want to get your hands on the notes from today's show, including the top tips, links to what we've mentioned and more, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. There you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you're intrigued by the world of Bitcoin and you want to understand a bit more about it, then do check out episode 25, because in that one, myself and Trace Mayer get into the ins and outs of how Bitcoin actually works. Yes, we're talking blockchains and all kinds of techie stuff. So if that's your bag, go and check that one out. That's episode 25. So thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help as many e-commerce business owners as possible to succeed and thrive with their business. So please do tell the other e-commerce business owners you know, because I would love to help them too. I hope you have a great week and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.